can artificial intelligence bring stodgy old logistics into the modern age and prepare it for the future? Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Bowman, Editor-in-Chief of Supply Chain Brain, and this is the Supply Chain Brain Podcast. Virtually no business sector has remained untouched by artificial intelligence, which promises all kinds of improvements over the workings of the human brain. Yet few industries are more in need of a mental jolt, biological or otherwise, than the world of logistics. For all our advances in technology, it remains a stubbornly traditional operation, involving the physical movement of freight from one place to another. So why has logistics been relatively slow in the adoption of AI? And what are the complexities of the business that might limit its application in this area? Answers today from my guest, Jonathan Ray, co-founder of Able, a platform for AI and machine learning. We'll talk about why logistics is in dire need of a boost from AI, how the technology works, how far it has to go to reach its full potential, and what it can't do. Here's my conversation with Jonathan Ray. Jonathan Ray, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Jonathan, where right now are the main areas where artificial intelligence is currently being applied to logistics and the supply chain?
There are thousands of areas where companies are finding benefit with the technology, but what we've seen recently is the supply shocks that are going on right now are just absolutely incredible, out of the realm of what most of us have seen over the course of our careers. And so we're seeing a lot of application coming in, trying to manage scarcity of logistics resources, scarcity of inventory, and scarcity of personnel as well is starting to be one of the primary use cases that we're engaging with our customers on, because the product can't move if you don't have people to move it and operate the machinery. And you know, those are some of the challenges that have really cropped up above and beyond your more traditional inventory expedites and management and logistics that go in your day-to-day. It's really this management by exception that's cropped up a lot here in the last year.
Okay, so how does that translate into specific tasks that AI is performing?
What AI does really well is help look at the depth of data that's available and surface to us as humans the insights that we need to pay attention to. What we as humans struggle with is looking at complexity and handling the detail when we have thousands to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of items in motion. It is very difficult for an individual who may have all of that motion under their responsibility to appropriately dig in and diagnose and understand every single gap that can potentially occur in that chain. Where artificial intelligence is really standing out with the disruption we've seen lately is the ability for it to very easily look at all the contextual details, see all the challenges, see all the hiccups throughout the system, and surface to us the top few items that are really looking problematic. Because at any given time, we can only act on a handful of particular issues, and the less time we spend trying to dig in and diagnose and handle and manage by exception, the more time we can focus on actually actioning and overcoming those challenges. And so that's where we really are seeing the benefit, marrying the best of what the models can do with the contextual oversight of the individual who has to make the ultimate decision.
Okay, so where's the data coming from? Is it coming from logistics providers, the handlers of the freight in transit or in warehouse or in inventory or what?
Typically, we're working with the data. Our specialty is focusing in on that decision support. So our data is typically coming from the systems that the team is already using today to facilitate their supply chain and their operations. So a lot of ERP data. When you have additional data beyond just what's in the ERP, tracking systems and so forth, those tend to be the areas that are coming in. And one of the reasons why we often focus in on that data is because it's the data that the team has at their fingertips anyway. It's not surprising that organizations tend to follow the information that is actionable, right? Because we're trying to provide the insights to that person to make a decision. And the additional benefit of this is we find change management is often one of the biggest challenges. A lot of organizations in this space don't talk about it because they like to believe once a predictive model is in place, everyone is just going to comply and follow. I don't know about you, but I don't want to comply and follow the machine for the rest of my life. So there's a natural resistance to that. And so what we're able to do by capturing the data that's already there is we can provide predictions right into the system of record that the team is already using. So they don't have to port over to a third-party system. They can just open the record they're going to use to observe the particular shipment or transaction anyways. And they have a guide along the side saying, hey, you might want to look at this a little bit closer because I've seen these are the 3-5 issues that are potentially problematic and why I flagged this to your attention. So it really subordinates it and puts it in context. So there's not a huge lift on that change management side.
I see. Okay, so but the data itself we're talking about, is it status information about shipments in transit or an inventory? Is that what it is, or does it even go beyond that? Because you reference ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning, which goes beyond just the physical location or status of a shipment. What exactly is the nature of that data that's being looked at?
Yeah, it really depends on the application. We're working with a large logistics company right now on helping optimize their shipment and basically their cross-docking. There, we're taking a look at everything from where the shipment's coming from, how long it's been on the road, how old the equipment is, how old are the trailers. You know, those types of details, we're really digging in and understanding what is it about that shipment, what is it about that particular trailer that the AI has picked up on so that it can inform us. One of my jokes in this space is during college, I worked at UPS for a summer. And the project that we're working on now is helping, before you crack the door on the trailer, understand what's in there. Because as a package handler in a former life, I know my worst day was when I cracked open a trailer that was full of Mickey Thompson racing tires. And if you don't know what these are, they're drag racing tires that are about 4 feet wide and weigh about 150 pounds each. I got an entire trailer full of those. That was my entire shift trying to get that one trailer unloaded. And the problem is those are areas where you have to team lift. And those trailers, when you get into that situation, will back up your entire process, end up putting you into overtime, backing up the entire system. And that's where taking that information and understanding what's in there so we can get ahead of it and plan accordingly is a really powerful way to use the technology to get ahead of what's coming next.
So you've also, I guess what you've done is you programmed into the system tolerances within which things go smoothly enough that the system doesn't need to bring it to your attention, right? That's management by exception, correct?
It is. And what we use to do that is rather than setting a rule that says based on these parameters, this is when you're going to flag it up, what we do is we go in and set the business considerations. So we set the cost-benefit trade-off. What is it going to cost? If I flag something to you, you're going to need to take 15 minutes reviewing why I flagged it, and that comes with an associated cost. If I prompt you to take an action and expedite a particular shipment, there is, again, a cost. You're going above and beyond. You're potentially putting something in the air at a much higher cost than you would get at sea or ground. And those costs come with a liability when the model predicts or recommends you take an action. Because if it's wrong, you pay the penalty with no benefit. If it's right, hopefully you do pay the penalty of that exercise, that extra step. But the payoff is you save a stock out, you avoid a more damaging condition. But that is what we use to inform our models to help prompt what level they need to flag things up. And in the condition where you don't have enough capacity, we've seen time and time again where companies come back and say, you're going to make $20 million. You're going to save $20 million of costs by following this model. But the model doesn't understand, or the team who developed the model does not understand that to get that $20 million, you would have to increase your staff by 5 times. That's a ridiculous assertion, right? There's none of us can increase our teams by 5x. Particularly in the hiring climate we have today.
Yeah.
So that's another piece that we come back in setting that limit. We'll take a look at your capacity. And if you can only intervene on behalf of 100 particular shipments in a given day or week, we will take that into consideration as well and cut that at the appropriate level that you're able to staff today.
So is the AI giving you a series of what-if scenarios that allow you to make the ultimate decision based on human judgment? Or is it giving you an actual recommendation of what you need to do now based on what is going on at this moment?
Yeah, so the primary task, it goes in and identifies the things that need further review. Now, in that, what it does is it gives the reason why. It explains its work. It tells you why it's flying something up to you.
That's important. Go on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's critical. Yeah. For example, working on importing items, we often see that things get hung up at customs. And unless you're paying attention, you may miss that rather than clearing customs in 8 hours, something has actually been sitting there for 4 days. That's where the artificial intelligence will flag that up and say, you may have an inventory problem coming because the expected time was 8 hours. It's now been there for 4 days. That is going to be the top reason why it's identified. But beyond that, we can also provide action. So provide different alternatives of things you could do. And where you have those actions within your control, where you can intervene, that is where you potentially have the ability to change that outcome. So if you have potentially a shipment where you could split it out, you may even avoid that customs problem ahead of time, because if you're shipping produce or unlucky to be in a partial container with produce, there's a much higher likelihood you're going to get pulled aside for some additional evaluation. If you could split those up and ship them in different containers, we can actually ahead of time give you a recommendation, a prescription to help avoid it before it ever leaves the dock. Or also, if you have the opportunity to intervene, Able can come back and provide you with the top few options of ways to intervene to mitigate the situation if you do have levers that you can pull at that point.
This all sounds very tactical, very valuable and yet tactical, kind of on the ground of the moment. Can AI be of value in logistics and the supply chain at a more strategic level? And if so, how?
Absolutely. And this really comes back to those cost-benefit trade-offs, those understandings of where our investment is going, how much time we're spending in each area. And another application where we use this was taking a look at different warehousing. We were working with a company that acquired a good number of businesses over the years. And so they had redundancy in their warehouses. And we were using Able to go in and identify where it would recommend shipping from, basically looking at the cost benefits and how much inventory, how much throughput would it allocate to the different warehouses that were available in the network. And what we were then able to do is identify where Able was shifting resource and throughput from one area to another became a very important focus for strategically optimizing which warehouses they should rationalize and which ones they should potentially expand and improve. And one of the funniest things from that analysis is we came back and the worst offender in terms of the warehouse and actually production facility that got flagged by Able, we went and talked to the management team and we said, this particular warehouse, you know, this set of 20 warehouses are the ones that we think you should take a look at. But this one particular warehouse really stands out as an underperformer and really needs to be evaluated. And the team came back and said, yeah, we know. And I asked them to expand on that a little bit. They said, that's the warehouse where the company was founded. It's in a horrible location. It's a small warehouse, so we can't get anywhere near the efficiency gains. The equipment is outdated, but it has sentimental value because it's still a family-owned business, and that's where it all began. So let's look at the other 19 in the list. We're probably going to keep that one. Maybe this will motivate us to reduce a little bit of what the day-to-day activity is. But that is where you can really take something where the tactical, each individual shipment was being evaluated, but we rolled it up to a cohesive whole to take a look at strategically, where are we getting the best returns? Where are we the most efficient? And this can be used for reallocating resources. It can also be used in the conditions that we see today. One customer we were working with was struggling because they're stocking out of everything. They sell a number of different products. This is an automotive services group where customers come in and they do limited service on the vehicles. And they came to us with a challenge of, I can't get enough inventory. I'm going to disappoint my customers. Where should I focus my efforts? And we put this into the system and we ran an optimization and we focused in strategically. What we found as we were setting up the business context is the folks coming in to buy tires They were the loyal customers. If you come in and buy tires, you're coming back again and again to this organization. Mm-hmm. You don't do the same if you're buying shocks or batteries or other things that they did for service. And what was critical about this is them and most of their competitors, they were trying to get all of the inventory to some level, right? Just get their service levels to something reasonable. So they're only disappointing so many customers. But what they ended up doing on a strategic basis was cutting over and focusing 100% of their expedite activity, 100% of their resources on getting in tires. And they were able to get a multiple percent growth in the space because mm-hmm. their competitors were stocking out. Now, they disappointed almost all their customers for the other services they traditionally provided. But again, those were less loyal customers. And by gaining the market share in their core business and focusing all of their logistics on just making sure they're stocked on tires, they were in a better situation to be able to ride through things.
All this sounds great, but it does sound like AI, and when it comes to logistics and supply chain, has a ways to go before realizing its true value. A recent study from MIT and Boston Consulting Group found that only 10% of organizations are actually achieving financial benefits with AI. Why the shortfall right now?
I think the biggest thing that is going on out there is the perception that once artificial intelligence is in the mix, that you have to boil the ocean. You have to have 20 terabytes of data. You have to have every system connected together to have a universal view of truth. And that is just setting up very fragile crystal ball thinking that when the reality on the ground hits, it all falls apart, right? We've seen these systems put together where the plan is to have the model predict exactly what item is going to be at what location at what second throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And well, that's a lofty goal to go in and try to figure out everything that's going to happen. That doesn't work well with the world of logistics. Right? All of us have seen our best laid plans fall apart because of something unforeseen, right? The black swans are everywhere. And so trying to create a model, regardless of how much data you have, that's going to be able to see every aspect and prevent every condition that could occur is unfortunately a path to failure. And that's a lot of what we see in that thinking. And it also drags out the project times where the more time you try to get the perfect data, the more likely it is that you're going to fail. What we see in the space that's become far more effective is starting small. Don't try to boil the ocean. Start with a particular application, start with what's available, and see if you can get a small gain. All of the ideas around continuous improvement and optimizing your systems, don't throw that out the window because predictive is in the mix. AI does not negate the realities we've spent our entire careers developing and learning. And to think otherwise is leading to an incredibly high failure rate. What you want to do as an organization is focus it in and say, what do we do well today? How can we use this technology to make us just that little bit better in the things where we're already strong? And that is where we are seeing that success coming through more often than not, is just augmenting slightly what you're doing today. It's the best path to success. It's the best path to a quick win. And trying to go to the nth degree and make something perfect, as soon as somebody calls in sick, your entire plan for the day goes awry because it hasn't accommodated for those little nuances that end up throwing off the entire system.
Notwithstanding the tremendous potential that AI holds for supply chain and logistics going forward as it's more fully embraced by companies, what are the limitations of AI in this regard? What can it not do even at its most effective?
AI really has a hard time with context. And that is where a lot of these approaches of just hand everything over to the machine can go awry, because the models will understand the data. But again, not understanding constraints, not understanding capacity planning, and also not understanding some of the things that are intangible. That is where the models really struggle, and they need a guided hand. They need some human involvement to help bridge that gap. Oftentimes bridging into data that doesn't exist in the system, where someone can look at it and contextually say, I understand why the AI is saying this is a problem, But I understand from what I see on the ground, this is my best option at the time. I don't really have another feasible alternative. And when we get into this as well, one of the challenges we're seeing come up when models look successful, oftentimes they're limited because when you talked earlier about the tactics and how a lot of the focus in the space is really around tactical action. The challenge becomes when you put a bunch of tactical actions at scale, they become an emergent strategy. And every single predictive model will develop a strategy. And it's something important for us all to recognize that based on those tactics at scale, we're likely going to shift our business and we're going to change what it is that matters. Maybe it means that the AI is going to adjust the tactics so that our service levels go down because that's what's most profitable. But we have to take a look at that in the broader context and understand if the AI to maximize our objective, the single KPI we gave it, is going to bring our service levels down significantly, we need to take a look at that in the broader commercial context and understand, is that an appropriate action or is that going to damage the business as a whole? And that is one critical, critical piece that we've seen missing and lacking in the space thus far, and piece that needs to be continued to develop and built out on to make sure that otherwise good models don't go bad, for lack of a better term.
That's fascinating, the way you refer to it as an emergent strategy, something that just sort of develops out of the tactical aspect. But you still need, I guess, people driving the bus, right, to in order to make full
Absolutely.
Use out of the value.
The technology is incredibly powerful, but it still does need somebody looking over its shoulder to make sure that it doesn't run wild, because we've seen it where organizations do. The example I gave around the service level is a real one. And it was incredibly damaging because it was a service-oriented business. And when their service levels dropped, their profit was up, right? The logistics team, supply chain was looking great. They were hitting all their KPIs, but it ended up harming the business side of the house and the organization overall before they identified it and were able to correct it.
How interesting. Jonathan Ray of Able, I want to thank you so much for taking time with me to explain the current and potentially future role of artificial intelligence in logistics and the supply chain. Great conversation. Thank you very much for your time.
No, I appreciate you having me and happy to join anytime.
That was my conversation with Jonathan Ray of Able, talking about the prospects and promise of AI for logistics. We're online at www.supplychainbrand.com, where we post a new episode of this podcast for streaming or downloading every Friday. You can also read my Think Tank blog, watch thousands of videos, and access all of our other content, including the digital edition of our magazine. Look for us on Facebook and LinkedIn, follow us on Twitter at SCBrain, and also watch videos on our YouTube channel. You can also download or subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Got any comments or suggestions on this or any episode? Email me at rbowman@supplychainbrain.com. Stay well and see you next time.